Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, we have four segments left, and I want Kurt to maybe ask a few of the very key questions left, because I have a few left of James Carrion. Kurt?
There's several good ones, and they're on different topics, but this one ties closely to what we were just talking about. This comes from Dissident UFO Buff. In your estimation, what percentage of modern UFO mythology is a result directly or indirectly of military intelligence or counterintelligence operations?
You know, I couldn't even, you know, venture a guess on that. I wouldn't know percentage-wise. All I can say is that there is an interest, that there's still an ongoing counterintelligence interest in this field, and there's usefulness. The ufology plays a useful partner to the intelligence agencies, and part of that is probably counterintelligence. Probably that is simply, you know, practicing human deception. If we're going to teach our new recruits how to deceive the Russians, why don't we get them to practice on deceiving ufologists first? There's an ongoing interest. I don't want to put a number on it, but I know there is.
So we're basically an easy target.
Absolutely.
Well, I get the feeling that it's not like a Scooby-Doo episode where they're trying to hoax a UFO. It's more that it's the confusion of UFOs if they send a surveillance vehicle over enemy territory and they don't know what it is. Having a UFO as an answer is better than having the Air Force blamed for it.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with development of new, you know, secret craft, stealth technology. They would rather somebody blame that new stealth aircraft flying overhead on a UFO than, you know, something that we're paying a pretty penny for out of our defense budget. So I think there's multiple uses of this field. You know, I think that there's a whole range of psychological experiments that can be done or have been done and probably are still ongoing. And I'm sure there's a number of things that have to do with media manipulation, with, general population persuasion, information control. There are all kinds of interesting aspects that play out here.
So how do you separate the faux UFOs from the so-called real ones?
That's a difficult problem that ufology faces right now. I mean, I think we have to go back. You know, I know you probably know that the X-Files is coming back for a six-show season, which I'm very excited about. I'm a big X-Files fan.
But
one of my favorite X-Files episodes is the one where the couple is in their car and they're going down the country road, and all of a sudden they're abducted by aliens, these little gray beings. And then another bigger UFO comes and abducts the gray aliens and the couple. And then it turns out later in the episode that the gray aliens are U.S. Air Force guys in disguise. Right. This is the classic episode, because I think it really is indicative of what ufology faces. How do you separate what is human deception from what is real activity? And unless somebody is willing to dip their fingers into human deception and actually investigate it away, research it thoroughly, and try to prevent some of this muddying of the water, you're simply never going to have any answers in this field. I've said this very many times in the past. If you cannot explain the role of government in this field, there is no progress.
You know, let me ask you something here with regard to that, because you raised the question by citing that X-Files episode, abductions, particularly Barney and Betty Hill, because they lived near an Air Force base and they had friends in the military. Do you think some of these abduction cases were part of a military experiment?
You know, it's a possibility. I don't know. I actually have, you know, in all the different aspects of ufology, I do find abductions probably the most intriguing, primarily because I was investigating one case that happened in Colorado, and it was a very dramatic case, probably even more dramatic than Betty and Barney Hill, but it's not in the case files anywhere because it didn't receive a large amount of publicity, but very dramatic nonetheless. And so as I was investigating that, you know, what struck me was the honesty, the sincerity of these alleged abductees, their fear of going public with it. You know, they really had no money motivation. There was simply nothing to gain by coming out with a story, everything to lose. So I do find abductions to be very interesting. Are they tied into some sort of military psyops or experimental program? Possible. I just don't know.
Well, I want to have some more discussions about abductions. We'll possibly have a future episode on the subject. Let me cover one more thing before we get to more questions from Kurt. And that is back to Roswell. So we have the so-called Roswell slides. No evidence they were connected to Roswell. What's your observation about it? I mean, we realize supposedly the actual presentation's not going to happen until May in Mexico City. But there's been so much advanced anticipation and publicity, which I think is overdone. I'm kind of prejudging this. What do you think about all of it?
Honestly, I'm not going to pass judgment on the slides as evidence, but I'll just make some general observations about ufology in general. Whenever something comes up that's sensational, that's new, that allegedly is going to be the smoking gun that's finally going to prove that Roswell really happened or this case really happened, ufology descends on it like a rat on a Cheeto. I mean, they are all over it. It doesn't matter whether or not there's any holes in the story or there's you know, lack of chain of custody or there's a problem with provenance. They're just simply all over it because, you know, hey, this is going to do it for us. This is really going to prove that we're right about this. And I actually find that to be ridiculous. You know, if you truly want to understand what's happening in ufology, then you can't be lazy. You can't wait for the evidence to come to you. You have to go look for the evidence. So, you know, we're talking, how many ufologists am I going to see tomorrow in the National Archives? I would bet zero. You know, in the past, you have, you know, these major UFO researchers like Stanton Friedman claim, I've been to I don't know how many archives and I've done this research and that research. That's great. I really applaud your efforts, Stanton. What have you done for me lately? You know, where are the Stanton Friedmans of the world now that are sitting in those archives looking for new evidence, that are trying to come up with evidence? They're too lazy. It's intellectual. That's not even intellectual cowardice. It's just intellectual laziness because everybody wants to be a UFO armchair researcher and just wait for the evidence to somehow fall into their laps. It's not going to happen.
That partly ties in with this question. So I think you've answered in part, but there's another part. This is from Ezekiel. What about the methods being used? And he says, is trying to catch a fly with a pair of wet noodles a good analogy to current efforts by ufologists? I think he wants you to comment on the methods, the techniques, and possibly the discipline. And you've said something about that, but obviously there's more. What should they be doing besides the hard research? What about actually finding things and collecting evidence?
Well, you know, I think that probably one of the most interesting experiments I saw that MUFON was a part of was called the AMP Project. And this, a lot of folks probably don't know about this, but this was AMP, A-M-P stands for Ambient Monitoring Project. And what they did is they recruited these folks that claimed to have abductions, and they put inside of their homes these scientific devices. It was basically just a box that looked like something mundane. And inside of this box, there were scientific instruments that were measuring ambient temperature and gravitational fields and any number of other things, and then recording it, the data. And then what they had these abductees do was anytime they thought they had an abduction experience, they were supposed to journal about it. And so they would collect the data, the abductees would journal, and then later on they were supposed to combine that research together to see that when an abductee claimed to have an experience, whether something changed in their environment, something physically changed. I thought it was very interesting, very, very good scientific, you know, experiment in terms of a hypothesis and data being collected. The problem was the data was never researched. I'm sorry, the data was never analyzed. When I was the director, I really tried to pursue getting this data analyzed. We actually found a statistician who was going to massage the data and put out a report. That person sat on the data for months. They never did anything about it. We never ended up actually paying them. And then I ended up leaving the organization before it could be analyzed again. So there's data sitting in MUFON's archive right now, unanalyzed, hard data. Why is that not being looked at?
We have to look at this announcement. We'll get back to more of this with James Carrion. With Gene and Kurt Collins, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Kurt Collins is joining us as guest co-host. He has studied UFOs very intensively in recent years, Cash Landrum case. He's also the curator of JimMosley.com, and he's been asking the questions that you listeners are posing on the show. Chris O'Brien is on leave for this week, mourning the death of his brother, Brendan O'Brien. James Carrion is answering your questions. Kurt, you got some more?
Oh, there's more. There's one that's a favorite topic of the Paracast listeners. So Heidi Limmer asks, have you visited Ray Stanford to see his films or pictures? Or while you were in MUFON, did you know anyone who looked at his work? And if not, have you found any other UFO film that was compelling?
I have not seen Stanford's films, and I think I even said this on the forum. I probably won't look at Stanford's films. And the reason for that is I'm too focused on my piece of the puzzle, which is the 1946 to 1947 time frame. You know, you can't look at ufology as an overall subject. You can't study it as just one big topic that gets thrown into one big bucket. If you really want to do some serious research into the field, you need to pick a niche. And you need to focus on that niche. So that's my answer to the film question. As far as other films, honestly, I haven't seen anything that I would say is extremely compelling to me. And this, we're talking about historical films here. Nowadays, I won't even bother to get on YouTube or look at the latest that's coming across Facebook because there's simply too many hoaxes out there. There are too many people with good computer systems and good software skills that can create some really good special effects.
Okay. If there is any case about UFOs that is really compelling that can't be explained conventionally, what would you point to?
Actually, I would probably turn that question around and say, and ask, are you referring to a UFO case that somehow equates to the extraterrestrial hypothesis?
I'm thinking in terms of any case that demonstrates an unknown, a mystery that needs to be solved. It doesn't necessarily have to be ET.
Well, I think that there's a number of those. You know, Porter's County, Ohio, Cash Landrum, you know, Roswell, supposedly an ET crash. So these are all compelling cases. They all have, you know, evidence behind them, and they all have interesting aspects to be researched. The compelling part, I find that difficult to answer because I don't feel compelled that they're providing me an answer. You know, I don't think that they're intriguing. They're intriguing. They should be looked at. They're a mystery, but they remain a mystery. And why do they remain a mystery? Maybe because they were in the past. The eyewitnesses are dead. The investigation's already been done into firsthand testimony and the collection of evidence. So they will remain a mystery, but they're not compelling to me because they don't tell me that it's anything other than an unknown. So it's really a difficult question to answer.
This was more of a statement, but I think this is kind of interesting, especially if we try to apply this to what James was saying earlier about MUFON, about them being composed of believers. And this is about labeling. And he said, let's see if we can eliminate positioning each other as believers, government dupes, and debunkers. Addressing that idea, not the person, should be our primary focus. Miscommunication and guesses about where we think people are coming from by labeling them does none of us any good. We need to stop barking and thinking together. One of the things is you hear this claim so often. Someone disagrees with you. Well, they're a starry-eyed believer or they're a disinformation agent, you know, simply because they have a belief that's a notch difference from yours. And why is there such a little tolerance for just seeing our working together and not getting hung up on these little points?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that to a degree. So let's think about the spectrum of belief here. So if you look at the spectrum of belief, on one end we have what I would label, I'm sorry, because you have to put labels on a spectrum, diehard believers. And at the other end of the spectrum, you have diehard debunkers. Both these folks have the same intellectual view of what they believe, and that is their mind is already made up. Believers at one end of the spectrum say, oh, ET's visiting us. There's no doubt about it. You can't convince me otherwise. Debunkers on the other end will say the opposite. They'll say, can't possibly be ET. There's no hard evidence. But, you know, in the same way the believer refuses to look at the evidence to the contrary of their beliefs, the debunker does it in the same way by doing a summary dismissal. They won't even look into it. They won't actually research it. Their minds, both minds, are already made up. In the middle of that spectrum of belief are what I call true skeptics. If you're a true skeptic, you're not basing your research on belief. You're looking into hard evidence. You're looking at documents. You're looking at a way to try to discount your own, discount whatever beliefs you have and try to do away with whatever beliefs you have and even trying to explain away whatever hypothesis you have. I've said this time and time again. If somebody doesn't believe my theory, that's great. But doesn't believe my hypothesis, that's great. Prove me wrong. But don't prove me wrong by telling me what your belief is. Prove me wrong by showing me what I got wrong, what documents I'm misinterpreting, what evidence have you produced that's hard evidence, you know, from an archive that shows completely the opposite of what I'm saying here, right? If we're going to argue, we don't need to label people. We just need to sit like any other scientific research organization or colleagues do. They sit around, they argue evidence. They don't argue personalities. They really don't argue beliefs, right? It's all about the hard evidence.
I think what complicates that, though, is that some of these people are putting labels on themselves. I mean, in some cases, literally joining clubs, whether it's a skeptic organization, and they're pretty much married to the position then. They're not even examining evidence. Well, I mean, literally examining, but their mind is closed because they basically have a political party sign over their head.
Well, I remember somebody once said, the UFO field is toxic. So, James, do you go along with that?
I absolutely agree with that. In fact, it's so toxic, it would prompt me to leave, move on, resign. Actually, even before resigning, I had already given my notice because I found the field to be so toxic that it was disrupting my research. I couldn't focus with all of this noise. So I thought, you know what, I got to get out there where I can breathe the fresh air and whether it's calm and I can just sit down and look at it, the evidence myself and do my own research independent of all of this strangeness or all of this noise or all of these, you know, folks with different agendas and really just try to focus on what I would like to do, which is to do the hardcore documentary research.
This Constance had some comments. I think she was one of your critics on the forum, and she talked about reading the part where you had your post. It was called "What's Next MUFON Book Burning" when they censored your post, and she said that's not good. There's a history there for sure, and maybe no way of finding out what happened. And she thinks it's something of a he said she said. And that there's a grudge, that you have a grudge with MUFON. You seem to be saying neither MUFON or anyone else in the field can be trusted, except perhaps you. She emphasizes that. If that's not what you meant to say, who are the researchers you do trust, past and present?
Let's have that question held over. Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. When the cleaners ruined some special clothing, all they could do was show us a sign that said they weren't responsible. But when they got the letter from one of our Legal Shield attorneys, he promptly gave us a check for $1,152. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. You're close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Constance, a regular participant of our forums, has made some critical comments of James Carey on our guest on the Paracast this week with Kurt Collins and Gene Steinberg. James, what's your response?
Well, actually, I did respond to her post. And that is, I make no bones about my past with MUFON or with ufology. Sure, there's a history there. There's a past there. And anybody who, you know, has been in the field long enough will know that. This is not about a grudge. This is about one thing, and that is, what is truth? I said this a number of times. If you are in this field and you have a sincere interest for truth, a sincere interest to pursue truth, then the bottom line is you're going to have to decide whether you're going to truly investigate and search for that truth, or you're simply going to perpetuate all of the mythology that's out there. So my grudge right now with MUFON has more to do with how their reputation has been sullied by this show that they've come out with, because they've basically sold themselves out from a scientific UFO organization to just being mythology promoters. And to being having this illicit affair with the media companies and with the History Channel. So what I'm saying is that, you know, how can anybody can pursue truth when there are all of these different, you know, so-called promoters of truth, MUFON being the one that was supposed to be scientifically minded, and they've turned around and they're completely the opposite of what they claim themselves to be. They're anti-science. There is no science in the organization. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that they're doing any science. So that's my grudge, right? That's the thing that makes me upset about MUFON, is how far they've fallen from the path.
I'm trying to find something that connects with what we're talking about here. This is one from Sue. She's actually got a question that's more about ufology in general, and she says, how do you build social institutions of scientific study around a question that may not have a scientific answer, where there are traditions and institutional infrastructures of methodology, transparency, data sharing, organizational accountability, and protocols for human subjects protection? Carrion makes substantive arguments that raise questions along these lines. I think we've touched on this some, but does that prompt you to make comments on anything that's being done wrong you think should be changed?
Sure. I think those are some very valid points. How do we truly investigate this subject? What are the standards of research? What are the standards of evidence? What are the standards of professional conduct? Those are all things that haven't even been addressed after all of these years. So until someone can sit down with all seriousness and address those questions, then truly scientific research cannot happen. And so, you know, these ad hoc experiments, these ad hoc research endeavors, you know, this ad hoc involvement of, you know, alleged scientists, it simply cannot produce good results until ufology as a field sits down and tries to come up with some of these very basic answers to how they're going to self-govern themselves and how they're going to govern research in this field.
If MUFON is the wrong place to go for solid UFO research, is there any organization in the United States of America that you would go to?
Sure, I would go to the CIA because they have... No, and I'm saying that in all seriousness because, like I said, we cannot sort real from deception until we have a way of understanding the role of human deception in this field, and we can the role of government in this field. So obviously, the intelligence agencies, they know their own role. They know what part is theirs. It's as simple as that, and they know what part is not. So. You know, unless they come forward and say, hey, guys, you know, all these years, we've not only, you know, pulled the wools over your eyes, but this is our case and this is our case and this is our case. It's going to be very difficult to try to say any organization to be able to prove or come up with some sort of research methodology that's actually going to produce results.
Well, you were talking about several things about the data that's been collected and that it's not being used. What do you think the potential for using that data? The project is another thing entirely. We don't know what that'll show, but do you think that there's some useful information that could come from a proper and aggressive analysis of the case files themselves?
I think there's potential there, but I think it would have to be something that would be mostly based on statistics. And doing statistical studies of different events and different cases, and just trying to come up with some sort of baseline for what activity has been observed. I mean, I think that is good information. I'm not so sure it's going to provide answers, but I think it would provide a good baseline for future research.
And what about the accessibility? I mean, because it sounds like you have a big complaint about the inaccessibility of the case files. I guess I'm asking, what good are they?
Well, you know, it's interesting is when you watch Hangar One, they show this big warehouse with all of their files and carts wheeling up and down the aisle as they gather different documents to portray on the show. And to me, it reminds me of that big warehouse in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, where they put the Ark in and it's lost forever. You know, let's be honest here. Hangar One doesn't exist. All of those case files have been scanned. But they're sitting in my file cabinet right here. Hangar One is in my file cabinet. So I have all the case files here. Everything MUFON scanned all their paper case files over the last 40 something years. All of the new data they collect is primarily online. I'm sure they're now collecting a lot of it electronically. So really, all of the case files, when we talk about the case files, we're talking about a combination of historical data plus current data. And that really should all be made available publicly or to any researcher that wants to use it.
What's their excuse not to make it available?
I don't know if it's an excuse as much as is they'll see it as a missed opportunity for revenue generation.
So if we can find a way to monetize it, that makes it a commercial organization, not a research organization.
Correct.
And you feel that's what MUFON's trying to be? Now, in terms of their public events, I've noticed a tendency to get speakers who are, shall we say, less credible, but maybe more adept at attracting large crowds in recent years. So is that part of it, that in order for this organization to grow and its membership is not really any larger than it was many years ago, they have to go to extremes?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the, you know, who's a popular draw to a conference? We have Stanton Friedman. We have Linda Moulton Howe. We have the same old cast of characters that make the rounds of all these UFO conferences, because they have folks out there that are fans of them and people that like to come and hear them speak. That's great. So you go and you go to this MUFON conference and you hear the same thing that you've heard over the last 10 years. Where's the new research? Where are these, you know, popular presenters? What are they doing lately besides pushing their latest book or pushing their latest website? You know, it's really problematic, because a symposium like the MUFON symposium is supposed to be about research. It's not supposed to be about popularity. It's not supposed to be about drawing crowds. Why should they care how many people attend an event other than it generating revenue for them? So I think the bottom line is that a symposium, a scientific symposium, should be about quality research, quality presentation, quality data. And you're not going to find that at a MUFON symposium.
Well, I was collected several of the symposium booklets, many of the years that I missed, mostly looking for the articles and presentations on the Cash Landrum case. And I was very, very much impressed with the older symposium booklets. And it seemed that there were, each year there were major presentations made based on casework and research and papers. And based on the lineup I see now, it just seems to be what you were saying, a listing of quite often it's TV favorites.
It's like having all the movie stars there, and we're not going to worry about the content. We've got more to come with James Carrion. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
James Carrion is with us this week. He's author of the Rosetta's Deception and the forthcoming second edition, and also of the Roswell Deception. James, when is the updated second edition of Rosetta Deception coming out?
Well, I'm working on it pretty steadily. I'm expecting, I would think, probably by the end of summer it'll be released.
And the Roswell book?
Roswell is still going to be a ways off. I have gathered a significant amount of data, but I haven't yet coalesced that into some form that can even be called a book. So I would say that's still a future project, maybe probably into the end of next year.
Is this a series? How far are you going to continue this? Is this an ongoing examination of intelligence in the UFO field?
I don't know if it's going to be ongoing. I think, again, I'm limiting my time frame to between late 1945 and summer of 1947. So it really just covers those four major events. And what my real goal here is to show that, you know, how deeply involved in the intelligence agencies were. And for good reasons, right? Because we had a new enemy that we were facing. We had just come off World War II, millions of people dead. And the last thing we wanted was another world conflict. So I don't think a lot of folks understand the level of fear back in 1946 about whether or not we were going to be thrown into a third world war, and that there were some very intelligent people with some very interesting skill sets that put those skills together to avoid another conflict. And I think that's probably what this probably boils down to. So I'm going to focus in that area. I'm going to do as much research as I can and continue to document that. If I push past that boundary at a future date, I really can't say.
And remind us again on the Roswell deception, other than Roswell, and I think you mentioned Maury Island, what are the cases that you think connect with that program in that era?
For sure, Kenneth Arnold. I'm sure Kenneth Arnold had a lot to do with it. And of course, I'm sure there's a lot of little cases that pop up in the media that are going to be related to those four cases that a lot of them haven't gotten big press, but I will be including some of those as well.
If there's any particular fact or supposition about Roswell that you think has been misinterpreted, and I realize your research isn't finished, and this answer may change or not be there, what do you think it is?
I think it really boils down to it being a human deception operation. You know, I think that those folks that originally perpetrated that deception are long gone, but the modern-day versions of those characters in the form of the intelligence agencies have an ongoing interest to perpetuate the myth around Roswell. It's been 40, you know, over, you know, 70 years here. How do you come out to the public now and tell them, hey, that was all based on a lie? It was based on a human deception. Because what's happened since then We have the Air Force coming out with their studies saying Roswell was crash dummies. Roswell was, Project Mogul. So who's going to be called to task for that? Did the Air Force lie about that? Were they really covering up what was not an alien event, but a human deception operation? I mean, there's some big questions here that if it was revealed publicly, if these folks actually came forward and say, hey, you caught us, you know, we did this, this would trigger some major congressional investigations. Because what are we talking about here? We're talking about a whole modern myth that was created here, a whole industry, part of Americana that's, you know, as much a part of us as apple pie is. So these are some serious questions. So I don't think that, you know, UFO or disclosure is going to come in the form of we've been visited. But I think UFO disclosure would first be, hey, we perpetrated this as a deception. And, there's going to be fallout related to that.
I have another question from one of our listeners. Open Minded Earthling actually had two questions about the UFO stories appearing in newspapers, and it seems to be asking about the manipulation of them. So, and I know you'd be familiar with Mockingbird, which came later, but so what about the intelligence community's manipulation of the stories in the news?
Well, there's been a long time involvement, a long time interest. And actually, this goes all the way back to World War II. The British were the first to come up with these methods, and they used them extensively during World War II, even on American soil. If you read my book, The Roswell Deception, I talk about the British organization called British Security Coordination and how they infiltrated American political groups. They infiltrated the media. When they wanted to push out a rumor, they had some very interesting ways that they could do that using their contacts in newspapers and radio and so on. They were masters of manipulation and masters of deception. And during that time, obviously, it was because they were confronting a superior military force in terms of the Germans. They were threatened with their own survival. So it makes sense, right? When you're really desperate, you're going to use desperate measures. But they fine-tuned those skills. And those are very much in use today. And I'm sure that media manipulation is probably the first class you take when you're recruited by the CIA.
And do you feel that, and I read this in history, but I've gotten the feeling that either they recruited agents or maybe agents were in place within the news media. And I was wondering if you had definite examples of that or what your opinion on that was.
Sure. But it's not just that they didn't even have to recruit some of these guys. I mean, remember, we're talking about the Cold War, and back in 1946 to 47, there were some very staunch anti-communists that were already in media, and they volunteered their time, and they volunteered their newspapers. So whatever it took to beat the communists. So they didn't even have to go out and actually do a lot of recruiting in those early days. Nowadays, maybe it's a little different, but, you know, there's still a lot of patriotic Americans, and I'm sure that there are media moguls out there that lend their hand because they see it as their patriotic duty.
Now, this is about the end of this segment, but I wanted to ask you quickly here. Do we see today the same kind of attitude that we had when everyone was a communist who disagreed with you back in the 50s?
Well, you know, interesting. That's an interesting question because we're actually seeing, if you read the news, a resurgence of some of that same Cold War mentality. I mean, think about what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine and the Crimea. And you start seeing some interesting things pop up in the news. All of a sudden, we have Russian submarines that mysteriously surface off the coast of Sweden. We have the shooting down of a civilian airliner over the Ukraine. You know, what prompted that? We're seeing this tit-for-tat in the media as far as what Russia's intentions are. Are they part of the world community or not? Or are they becoming a foe that we have to worry about again? I mean, we just look at all the stories that have come out with about Russian bombers that have to be escorted outside of Swedish airspace or these different borders in Europe. And it starts to seem very much like the Cold War again. So if that's happening in the media, there's a lot going on in the intelligence field that we don't know about. There's a lot of forces at play here.
James Carrion, please tell our listeners where they can find more of your work.
Sure. I have two blogs. One's called followthemagicthread.blogspot.com. That's more geared towards somebody who has an interest in ufology. And my other blog is called the rosettadeception.blogspot.com that has to do with more of the Cold War research.
Kurt, do you have a website people can check out?
Blue Blurry Lines. It's primarily on the Cash Lanham case, but lots of other UFO cases will be found there. And, of course, do occasional updates to the Jim Moseley website, jimmoseley.com.
You can find us on Twitter, where we're known as the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Follow us, neighbors. Maybe we'll follow you. And we have that contest running to give away a free one-year subscription to the Paracast Plus. It's where you get the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, video content coming, the ad-free version of the show, so much more. Check out plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com to become a member. If you want to enter the contest, go to the thread at our forum at forum.theparacast.com. We have a place there that is called Paracast Plus Membership Gift. Tell us why you think you should have a membership, a free membership to the Paracast Plus, and we'll consider it. And remember, too, if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus for 1 year or more, it's $50 for the year, $175 for 5 years. We give you a free copy of Chris O'Brien's Stalking the Tricksters. Chris will be back next week. And we're going to have a lot more to say about this show and other stuff on After the Paracast this week. Kurt, thanks for filling in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so sorry for the circumstances, but glad to be able to help out.
James, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Kurt.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free Everstrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at freewaterproofmatch.com. Again, that's freewaterproofmatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit freewaterproofmatch.com today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.